What's up, family? Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league from the MLB, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. Bet online continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props and futures. Head to Bet Online today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, BLEAV 50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts, who's a proud sponsor of the Boss Man Show on your radio. Folks, back on the Boss Man Show, friend of the show, Jarvis Hayes, Georgia State Panther assistant coach, doing big things over there at the sports arena, going down to the Confiscating Center real soon over there. I see what y'all doing. Y'all brothers gonna build some over there, my guy. How you doing, brother? Good to talk to you again.
Boss man, I'm good, man. If I was any better, I had to claim to be somebody else, or better yet, I had to claim to be you if I was doing any better.
I hear that, man. Hey.
It's exciting.
I hear that. Hey, you just had a birthday, my guy.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not gonna say your age on the air, but how was
No,
that
I'm
birthday,
good.
man?
41. 41. 41 is my age, man. I'm proud of my age. Like I tell you the truth, though. Speaking of my age, I had a real crisis when I turned 30. You know, the 20s, I had a lot of fun in my 20s. So it was hard going into my 30s. But ever since I've had kids, and you know, they say like age is like fine wine, baby. You know, so like I'm cherishing everyone I get from here on out.
Yeah, I might be behind you. I'm not that far behind you. I got a few more years and I'll be where you at, Lord
There you
willing,
go.
you know. So
There you go. There you go. Like my mom said, the Lord willing and the creek don't rise.
yes indeed. Yes indeed. Well, man, let me ask you this, brother. You know, you stays on with people with Jonas, of course. You know, talk about the foundation that was built in this program with Coach Lanier and Cliff and those guys, and now with
Yeah.
your brother coming in, picking up on that where they left off.
You know, for one, like and you mentioned it, Coach Rob Lanier, like the things that we was able to continue here at Georgia State, you know, coming behind Ron Hunter, who I think, other than Lefty Giselle, Ron Hunter really uncracked the code of how to be successful here at Georgia State. And Rob Lanier and the staff, we had a great staff, and Chris Kreider and Cliff Warren up under Rob Lanier. It was a great experience for me, being it was my first D1 coaching experience, and obviously being under a guy with the pedigree and the success that he's had other places, the guys that he's coached for, the players that he's coached and developed. So, like I said, I tell people all the time, especially now, the fact that I have the opportunity to continue here at Georgia State under Jonas, my twin. You know, I must have did something in my previous life to have this much favor this early in my coaching career. So, it's been a blessing, man, and obviously, to be with my twin brother here in the city that we was born and raised in, it's makes it even sweeter.
I hear that, man. You know, like I said, I've been watching you guys. I was a young dude over going over there to Mays High School, so I know about
There
it.
you go. There
So
you go.
yeah, so I've been
Way
watching you
back.
all for years, man. So I'm so happy to see you all, and I feel like Georgia State's been a good place for, you know, for being good to me, for Ron Hunter and Rob Lanier, and now with your brother, man. So a true ATL experience right there, man. And talk about that, man. How is it technically having your brother as your boss, who you're 5 minutes older than, brother?
Well, you know, no, in this profession, boss man, I'm gonna be honest with you. Like you can go back to our senior year in high school, and our high school coach Jesse Bonner, who just retired from Kennesaw Mountain a couple of years ago, he coached us in high school. Like Jonas and I, obviously it was Jonas's idea, but we did scouting reports of our opponents in high school. So the coach has always been in him, and the fact that he's been so good at it for so long, and I'm including the year when we played in high school, during the state tournament, where he we would watch film and he would create the scout report of our opponents. It's easy to follow behind his lead because he's a natural at it. You know, I never thought I would be a coach, and obviously Jonas saw something in me. He always said, even when I was playing, that I was eventually was going to coach, and I was like, nah, I'm not going to do it. But here I am. And you know, so like my boss is my twin, but I respect him immensely. And like I say, inside the office, I try not to make it so much of a twin thing, because I respect the seat that he's sitting in. I obviously respect the person that he is, and the leader that he is, the leader of men that he is. But for me, it's easy, boss man, because the seat that he occupies, you know, it's that's a very tough seat that he's ready for, and it's something that I respect immensely.
No doubt, no doubt. And for you, man, you're staying right at home in Atlanta. So, how about recruiting in Atlanta? Because I feel like you gotta have a certain kind of swagger to recruit our city. You know, you just can't come in here just showing up. You gotta know people, have connections, relationships, and bonds. That's something that you and Jonas have from day one. Talk about how you could be able to, Georgia State's gonna be that school that people actually help, because everybody can't get in tech. But Georgia State can get you in there, and you can still get seen, because if you can play, they'll find you.
Yeah, that's right, man. I think you hit the head on the nail. I mean, you hit the nail right on the head when you mentioned the word relationships. Georgia is a unique place. It's situated in a unique part of the country to where relationships are key. You know, and I'm gonna make this term because I love what I do, but I necessarily don't like recruiting per se. I like building relationships, and when you build relationships, then you're never going to have to feel like you're recruiting a kid. Because if you think about it, most schools at whatever level, high major, mid major, Division One, Division Two, those schools are going to, you know, recruit themselves. Like they offer what they offer. Like when you're talking to a parent and you're trying to convince a parent that this place is best for your son, then you're recruiting, you're basically building a relationship. And hey, can this parent trust me with their kid for the next 3 to 4 years? And so yeah, we call it recruiting, but I like to term it building relationships, because you know it's the relationships that are a hell of a lot more lasting than recruiting a kid for 3 or 4 years. That seems transactional to me. And building relationships goes beyond the years that you're physically coach them, the time that they're at your institution.
And it's funny you say that because, you know, I'm an only child. So my father was a coach. He tells me all the time, you're my biological son. I got over 10,000 sons. You're not my only
Amen.
son. And on Father's Day, he's getting blown up and people sending him gifts. I'm like, man, they did more than I did. And I'm his dadgum son. But
It's the
it's the impact
relationship that he
that he
built.
had on him.
There you go. And you know, that's super important, especially for me, man. And I get a lot of my cadences, and Jonas and I get both of our cadences from our father. He was a big relationship person. And you know, if you'll never recruit anybody if you build a relationship. Like that's the key. Then you won't get everybody. You know, like it's you know, obviously you still got to nail down the deal and get the kid into your school. But you know, like having a relationship with a kid and building a relationship with a kid and his family and his surroundings is a heck of a lot easier than trying to recruit that kid and convince that kid that your institution is better than the next, because they're all great. It's a blessing to receive a scholarship offer from any school at any level. So, like, what's going to make you different than another great school? And to me, it's the relationship that you can have with that kid, because it's inevitably going to get tough for everybody. And when it get tough, who are you playing for? Someone that you can trust, or someone that made the whole recruiting process transactional?
You got there right, my brother. Let me ask you this, man. Now, I'd ask coaches to coaches this question. For fans who don't understand it, what does a D1 assistant coach do on a day-to-day besides just the on-court stuff?
Oh man, it's a lot. And it's funny that you asked me that, because Jonas is now a head coach, and we actually had a team meeting on yesterday. You know, he's very hands-on. Like when he was an assistant coach, he kept a lot of things off of his head coach's plate by him being the type of go-getter that he is. And with Jonas sliding over just one seat, he's going to have to allow us to be for him what he was for every head coach that he played for. So it's a lot of responsibilities. Not only like when you break down the definition of a coach, yes, our job is to win games and coach basketball, but the role of a coach is a developer of men. So it's the example that you it's the example that you have on in your daily walk. What are the kids seeing? What are your influence other than the words coming out of your mouth? What are the influences are you going to have in with the kids in your program? And like I say, it's a number of things like academic checks and well-being and welfare checks. Like it's almost like it's an extension of the kids. We want to build like an extension of a kid's home. Now we'll never be able to love a kid like the kid's mother or father, but the goal is to strive pretty close to a family atmosphere. So when we take a parent's 18-year-old kid, when we give them back, they'll be a 21, 22-year-old man. So the responsibilities are endless. It's a lot of late night calls, early morning calls. It's a lot of counseling sessions, just speaking to them about life. And it's and for me and from my experiences, boss man, is I owe it to these kids to talk to them more about just basketball. Because if you fulfill every one of your dreams and become the player and play at the level that you feel like that you want to play at, and all your dreams and aspirations come true, the longest, most fruitful careers will be over, and most of these guys will still be in their mid-30s. So what are you going to do from 35 to 70? It's getting these guys to value an education, value relationships, value how you treat people every day. Like the true character of, and listen, because I'm big on character, like how you treat someone that you know can't help you, like that matters to me. Like that your interaction to like the facility workers here at the arena or here at Georgia State, someone that has no bearings on your everyday life, like how to be a man in society and be, just a citizen that goes well beyond them providing for us the sweat, blood, sweat, and tears that they do on the athletic court. Because, like I say, when the ball stops and the crowd goes silent, if you hadn't figured out who you are outside of this game, it might be a little rocky time. And my goal is try to avoid that for the ones who are blessed enough to play past college, and the ones who have other interests outside of basketball. Boss man, that's okay. It's okay to have other interests. It's okay to be interested in other things than basketball. Basketball is what you do, it's not who you are. So getting that through to the kids and obviously telling them my story and my path and trek through life, that's the reason why I became a coach. The basketball part of, yes, I got a lot of developing to do. I got to, the basketball part, but seeing the look in these kids' eyes when I'm speaking to them, when I'm pointing to them. Sometimes it's hard. I've had to have a lot of hard conversations. But it's worth it. It's worth it for me.
It's funny to say it, Jarvis, because somebody made a comment to me that how, at State Farm Arena at the Hawks games, I'm friends with the people who just making minimum wage, who are the security guards. Like you said, they can't help me.
Right.
I'm helping them because of
Right.
who I am. It's like I have no problem talking to them about sports or
Right.
understanding the business of
It's
basketball
humility,
or
having humility.
of how the Hawks work or how the Falcons work at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Because those people are people too. So I don't judge you
That's
because
right.
of what you do for a living. Like you said, they can't help me do
Having
nothing.
humility and respect. Humility and respect.
They can't help put money in my pocket. But
Right.
just the fact that I can be able to give them 5 minutes of my time, give someone my phone number, they can text me and ask me questions off the
That's
record
right.
about stuff they don't understand because I feel like this is it's my role because I was blessed to be able to do what I do. Sports was not my
That's
future
right.
after college. But now with this
That's right.
platform I have, I can affect people via my voice, my connections, and my platform, and being humble, like
Yes.
you said, enough to give them my time of day to show them that they are people. Now they're not just a security guard, they're a person behind that security guard.
How you choose to walk your everyday life, that's important for me.
You've got that right, my brother. Now, I'm gonna ask you this, man. How was the game of basketball changed since you played played in the NBA, played overseas, and now you're in the coach. And now, how has it changed through your basketball journey from high school to now, in your opinion?
I think it's changed a lot. Like towards the end of my career in the NBA was when they started going to the small ball. So my last couple of years, you know, is when I played a lot of the four. I was a 4-3, you know, keeping the floor stretched my last couple of years. And I had this, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I had this conversation with a couple of people maybe a week ago. Like, I don't think it hasn't been any other time in basketball that you can look at high school, college, NBA, and international basketball, and they all seemingly are the same. Like from the concepts to the play to the style of play, you know, physicality. It's a lot of the NBA is becoming a heck of a lot more international. The pace of the game has changed, and the type of shots that you look for. Like, you know, I was, you know, I felt like I was a pretty good shooter when I played. I never was a volume 3-point shooter. Like my game was mostly mid-range and in and posting, and I shot threes based on how the defense was playing me. But today, in today's game, it's only three shots that you want as an offensive guy. You're taught to get a 3-point shot, layup, or free throw. Like the mid-range part of the game has kind of went away. Like you look at the college game. Like the fact that they moved the 3-point line back when they did, I think is an opportunity for guys who are good in the mid-range to have an opportunity to perfect that shot again, because the space is so wide open. Very rarely, boss man, are you going to be able to, like, you have your dynamic few guys that can break down a guy and get to the cup from the outside. Like it's real hard to consistently get to the cup from behind the 3-point line. Like most of the time, the shot that is there for the taking is that mid-range shot. Now, obviously, guys don't even practice it, and it's not a shot that most coaches want their teams taking. But I think along with the game changing from being a positionless basketball, the NBA got, they have 7-foot point guards and 6'5" centers now. So it's almost like you know, the more versatile you are, the more value that you bring. Like, and you ever heard of the saying, like, jack of all trades, master of none?
Yes.
And it's almost like they want the game wants the jack of all trades now, right? Being outside of shooting, like, because that's a skill set that transcends, that's going to transcend the times and the changing of the game. But more often than not, you want every player on the floor to be able to dribble, pass, and shoot. You know, when I played, you had guys that just shot, guys that dribbled and initiated, and defenders and rebounders. It was more specific. Now it's still to some degree going to be like specific, but the more things that you can do and the more positions that you can play, the more value that you have. You know, so it's changed a lot in how teams are constructed. It's changing a lot to how college teams are constructed. So it's a difference. It's a difference. But once another Shaq is born, then the game is going to go back.
Exactly, especially if it's 1-5 switching or 1-4 drop coverages that the NBA runs, and now so hey, you have to be able to switch 1-5 to be on the floor when it
Basically,
counts,
yeah, basically.
and that's why that Gobert trade threw me off, because Gobert is a drop coverage center. He's unplayable in the playoffs. He can't switch 1-5. That's why that trade threw me off in Minnesota. Like, what were you doing?
But it's Minnesota. What else are you gonna do? Like, if you got a chance, like how is you gonna get a Uber level star on the same level of a Gobert to go to Minnesota and potentially stay? Like, so I like to trade. I'm a huge fan of, obviously, my Georgia boy Ant-Man. I think he's on the cusp of blowing all the way to hell up. Excuse my language.
Are you good?
You know, but you got Big Cat is going to move over to the four. Gobert is going to go to the five. Like when you look at the league, it's basically an arms race, man. Like ever since the era of the big three, it's not even how the pieces match anymore. It's just about how many, you know, who got the more weapons, who got the most arms. So, and then you can figure out how it all fits together. But the more guys that has the most weapons typically are the ones that's gonna, especially in playoff basketball in the 7-game series, the guys who have more guys typically are the teams that advance.
Now, I was covering that Memphis-Minnesota series. I was covering that series. They should have won that series. They should have won multiple. They should have Minnesota choked that away. I was there in Memphis, and I was off for them whoop them tricks, and I was in. Yeah, it was a great series. It was very exciting. You know, being in Atlanta, I wanted to go to Memphis very often, but the Memphis Grizzlies crowd and playoffs was electric and crazy. I was like,
that's
wow,
a good,
this
it's been
is
a good franchise over the years.
No doubt. No, let me ask you this, man. Like, when you played it for the Nets, man, after I still call it the Meadowlands. Don't call it the Eisenhower Center. To me, it's the Meadowlands. How was
That's
it
right.
playing out there in East Rutherford, New Jersey, in shout out New York? What was your fan base like when you was up there, man?
Man, they were lovely. Like my first year there, we was teetering around with the playoffs. So it was Vince Carter's last year in New Jersey. Brooke Lopez rookie year. So we teetered around with the playoffs. Obviously, we didn't make it, but the city in and of itself, I loved it. I think outside of my home city of Atlanta, like that was a place, you know, because I had my son towards the end of my first year there. My wife and I, we used to go over to, you know, Broadway and watch plays. So from an entertainment standpoint, it was an amazing place to be. I stayed in Edgewater right there in New Jersey, and I think Hoboken, I think was the name. But it was a great place to be. You know, my second year there, I got hurt on opening night, and I missed like 50 games. And by the time I came back, we were like 3-48 or something like that. So like my second year there was pretty tough. But my experience as a whole in New Jersey was overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah, this guy, I think, is one of the best announcers in the NBA. Your man Mason in Detroit. How was it being around Mason back in the day when he had the pounds
Detroit
iron
basketball.
ball? Get up on your feet.
Listen, he is the best in the business. He needs
yes.
to sign a lifetime contract, at least a 15-year contract, to be the announcer of every NBA All-Star game.
Yes.
Every NBA All-Star game and every NBA Finals game. Like, because it's a production with him and his voice. I'm pretty sure he has influence, like insurance on his throat or his vocal cords, man. Because like he has a powerful, powerful, powerful voice.
No doubt, man. I go back and watch some of his videos on YouTube and from the finals when he had them going and get them going. I just love going to Detroit because to hear him do what he do because it was fun
Man,
to
I
watch
missed
it.
the Palace too, man. I know Little Caesars Arena is a beautiful arena, but the Palace, man, it was nothing like the Palace.
You know that now our boy Ryan Cameron may take some offense to us saying that, but Mason is the dude.
Ryan is a legend. You listen to me.
Ryan
Ryan
number
is
two.
A legend.
I gotta put Mason in number one though. Mason is a
listen,
different level.
Ryan, you can put those 1 and 1 2. Like Ryan has the Hawks games thumping. Like he's a legend here in Atlanta. So no slot. No, listen, no disrespect to Ryan Cameron. I love him. I absolutely love him and
yes.
the energy he brings. Like them two are the like for me, probably the top two announcers in the game.
No doubt, man. No doubt. And you know what's good about the Pistons fans? They had to drive up to Auburn Hills and say, shut up for you guys and played hard for you guys, man, because I feel
That's
like,
right.
Hey, you all embodied those years when Larry Brown and Flip Saunders, you all embodied what Detroit was. Hard working, blue collar city. So I feel like you all represented what that was, man. I enjoy watching you all play on my NBA League Pass back in the day.
There you go. There you go.
Yes, indeed. Well, folks, that is Jarvis Hayes, assistant coach over Georgia State. Our Panthers doing big things in our city. Pat family 1-0 for sure for 0-4. Jarvis, my guy, it was fun, man. Do this game real soon, my guy.
Thank you, man. Thank you both, man. Thank you for having me, man. Anytime.
Anytime, brother.
Peace.
What's up, family? Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, events with first to market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league from the MLB, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, BLEAV50, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts, who's a proud sponsor of the Boss Man Show on your radio.